no. Those are horrible parents right there, right? Man, have you ever got a present that you didn't want? Here's the hard part about getting a present that you don't want. The face that you make when the person who gave it to you is watching you intently, like, do they like it or not, you know? How many of you guys have had that experience? You've had to fake the face? Right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Just like these poor, they weren't very good at it. Some of you guys are better. But I preached a sermon a long time ago. I was preaching a sermon at this one church, and I was preaching on David, and it's the psalm where David's talking about, hey, God, search my heart, right? Search out my heart, find the sin in me. And so I preached that sermon, and I went home. During that week, I get this phone call from a person that was in that time with us, right? And they're like, man, that was a great sermon. It just touched my heart. I have something for you. I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. That's so nice of you. Like, that had never happened before. And so, I think it was 2 days later, this thing arrives at my office, and it's all wrapped up, and I open it up with this card, and it's like, hey, the sermon made me think of this, and I love doing sculptures. I'm thinking, this is awesome. So this, like, hand-sculpted, like, thing that this person had made for me that represented what they learned during the sermon. Like, it's an awesome thing. Awesome heart. But when I opened that thing up, let me tell you, it was the scariest thing I had ever seen in my life. It was like this, like, person kind of, but with like a scary face. And like the heart was like, blank, like coming out of the chest, looked like alien. It was like this crazy thing. And so I'm sitting there going, I can't even have that in my house. I won't be able to sleep at night. It's like one of those things. I'm so scared of this thing. But it was such a sweet, kind gift. So what do? Like, you definitely don't like the gift, and you're like, this thing freaks me out. But then you don't want to hurt this awesome person with this big heart that gave it to you. And you're like, you love them for doing it. But like, the gift just didn't meet, you know, like, you just can't do the gift. And I got thinking about that because we're in the final lesson of our series that we're talking about. We start Fires, and we're looking at 2 Timothy 1. And so tonight, what we're going to do is we've walked through it, but we skipped verses 1 to 5. So we're going to rewind now and finish chapter 1 with verses 1 to 5. All right, so we're going to do this little rewind, and it has to do with being thankful. It has to do with thanking God. We're at that point tonight as we're learning how to start fires, share our faith with other people, start fanning that flame in others so that they walk closer to Jesus, right? As we're talking about that, the thing we need to remember as we're going through that is don't forget to thank the Lord. Don't forget to stop in those moments as you see God show up and work and say, this was you. I had nothing to do with this. This is the power of God working through me. This wasn't that t-shirt that I'm putting on. This wasn't some fancy story I told. God, you need the glory. So don't forget to thank the Lord. And so we get to see Paul, right? Because he's talking to this guy, Timothy. And he's going to be saying something cool to Timothy tonight. I don't want you guys to miss. But as we start to look at that, I want this to kind of roll around in your heart and in your head as we're just hearing God's truth, okay? Think about that present that you got that you don't really like and that you had to kind of look grateful for and how hard that was to fabricate inside your heart, like make on your own this feeling of gratefulness, right? Because you're not necessarily, you don't want it. You're not really grateful, but you're trying to like make it happen in your heart. And remember how hard that is. And I want us to think about, as we step into being thankful to the Lord, I want us to think about, like, are you truly grateful when God shows up in your life? Is there a true sentiment of gratefulness in your heart when you see someone else accept Jesus? Like, does that get you to jump up and down and be, like, so excited that that just happened? This person is no longer going to hell. Their eternal soul will now be with God forever. Do you feel a gratefulness to God for saving the people you love? Do you feel a gratefulness in your heart when God grows your faith? Is that even something you think about? Or do you have to kind of like make this fake smile when we're in church and we're celebrating baptisms and someone just got saved from our group and we're like, yes, and the rest of us are like, this is so awesome. And you're sitting there and you're like, I guess it's cool. Like, eh. Is that your heart? And I don't say that to shame anybody tonight. I don't want you to feel embarrassed or ashamed if that is you. I just want us to be honest. Just have an honest conversation. Because I have found myself in that place so often. So I'm not pointing a finger. I'm sharing this with you tonight. What do we do? What do we do when we find ourselves in that moment where it's like, I should be pumped about this. Like, I should be grateful and thankful to God about this. And I'm just not. What do we do in that moment? And why might that be? Why is that a thing? So let's see what Paul has to say. We're in 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 5. He says this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy, and I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. Paul starts off this whole letter of 2 Timothy, writing to Timothy, with this awesome word of how thankful he is to God. He starts off by literally thanking God for Timothy and the work that was done in his heart. And so listen how he literally starts the letter. He introduces himself. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. So first, don't even just skip over that. Oh, it's just the title. It's dear sirs, it doesn't really matter. No, it matters a lot. That's a huge statement to say, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, because we've talked a lot about who Paul was. Before this, he was out persecuting Christians, and now here he is, an apostle. Like someone who plants churches, who goes around, and his life's call is to go tell people that Jesus is real. He's starting fires, right? Your shirts, Paul kind of started that deal. He's out starting the fires of people's hearts, fanning the flame, saying, this is Jesus. This is the good news you need to know that will change your life. So this is a big deal. It's not just some simple phrase. This guy knows what we're talking about here tonight. And he says, by the will of God. I need to tell you this. Before you go any further in your walk with Christ, before you grow up past Firehouse and start to go into church and serve in other places, you need to know this. Paul says that he is an apostle of God, meaning he serves God. And his next phrase is this, by the will of God. Not because Paul thought it was a really cool position to have. He's like, that looks sweet. And people really respect apostles. So, that's my position. That's what I want to do. That'll get me on a stage a lot. That'll get me in the spotlight. That'll get me pats on the back. That'll get my parents proud of me. Whatever the excuses sometimes we use. Do you hear that kind of already coming out and what might apply to us? It wasn't Paul's will. It was the will of God. We talk all the time at Firehouse. It's our philosophy, right? We want you to hear God's voice, say yes, and then invite others to join you. That's what Paul's doing. He's like, I am an apostle by the will of God. I heard God's voice. He called me, right? God said, Paul, I'm calling you into doing this. The key is to say yes when he calls. When he says, hey, I want you to serve at Firehouse. I want you to go and talk to Rob or Zach or one of these people and be like, hey, I want to serve somehow here. And you hear that and you're like, God's been telling me to do that. What do I need to do? Or God's calling you to be a student leader. And you're like, man, I've been putting it off, but it's his voice. I know he's saying it. So what do I do next? How do I say yes to God? Right? Paul said yes. Not because it was something he had planned, but because God called him. So here's what I want you to know. This is the part you could write down if you're writing notes or type in or whatever you do. Never volunteer for anything. At least not at church. Don't ever volunteer. God didn't call Paul to be a volunteer. God called Paul. Paul surrendered to the will of God. He came and said, 100%, I am here because God's getting a yes, and he's my king, and this is his will for my life. So I have to be a student leader. I don't want to volunteer to be one. It's not an obligation of my time. I won't just clear my schedule and make time. No, I'm not volunteering. I heard God speak to me, and I'm saying, yes, I've been called, and I'm going to do this to the king, for him, not for Rob or Firehouse or my leaders. I am doing this because I believe God called me. As you start to do that here, and as you start to get more involved in church, I want you to know, don't volunteer. Church doesn't need more volunteers. God doesn't need volunteers. He needs people that are saying, yes, God. I'm going to answer your call. I'm going to do this because it's your will. God's plan is so much better than yours. When he speaks, give it 100%. Say, I'm sold out. I'm sold out for you, Lord. And it could be anything, you know? Like, I'm not saying God's going to call you to be, you know, a pastor here, right? Or be a missionary in Africa, or some one of those things we typically think of. He might be calling you to serve in an incredibly powerful way that isn't even on your radar. It could be in the coffee house upstairs, having those conversations with people who are walking in and they've just had a terrible day and they need that encouragement, that love, that cup of coffee or Coke or whatever to sit and just say, how's your day? Don't ever underestimate the power of God when he calls you to something, whatever it is, whatever it looks like. You might think it's small and God's plan's huge. Just worry about saying, I'm not volunteering. I'm saying yes to the will of God. There's a big difference. So Paul is called because of the will of God. And then he says this, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. His call, it's only possible because Jesus died and rose again. His call is only possible because he took a guy like Paul who was out putting Christians in jail, throwing them in pits and throwing big rocks at them and like dragging them off to prison. Like he took a guy like that. And because of what Jesus does, his work to transform us from that mess. And then turns him into a church planter who we're reading his book right now, 2,000 and some years later, going, dude, this guy loved Jesus. Like God spoke to this dude. What a transformation. That's what God's doing in you. If you've said yes to him and you're following him, trust God to do it when you say yes. Don't go, yeah, God, and then, oh, you pick it up and you try to do it on your own. Like, I'm going to be the best there is at this thing. And like, no, I'll be like, what's next, Lord? What's next, Lord? Just keep asking him and keep stepping in faith. And you let the Lord direct you. And so Paul is only doing what he's doing because God spoke up through Jesus, changed Paul's life, transformed him. And did the work in his heart. And that's where it has to start. Remember, we can't be grateful for something we're not really grateful for something we don't care about. God has to do that work in your heart to cause you to care that people are dying and going to hell and you want them to know Jesus so they can be in heaven, to care that the Lord, your creator, wants a relationship with you, wants to call you out by name. And all of a sudden, when you care about that, now you can be grateful for it because it's something you long to see. So here's my question. What is God saying to you right now as you sit in this room? Tonight, what is it that God's saying to you? Can you hear his voice? Some of y'all, he's been speaking for a while. He's been talking to you. He's been knocking on your heart. And maybe you're not listening, or maybe you just haven't heard. I want to challenge you to listen tonight. What is it that God's saying? If you say tonight you follow Jesus, you believe in him, and you belong to him, he's talking to you. There's no doubt of that. He says he is. What do you hear? Where is he calling you to serve? Who is he calling you to talk to and love on? Maybe someone needs to hear that good news that you carry around in your heart because it's happened to you. You've been saved. You have the promise of eternity right inside of you, and you've experienced that relationship with Jesus. Who is it? Who's the name he keeps whispering into your heart? He keeps saying, talk to them. Share the good news. Let them hear what you have inside of you. What's that name? What is it God saying to you? And then he turns and he says, this is for you, Timothy. So he goes to Timothy, my beloved child. This wasn't just some dude he met. Like he was kind of like a father in faith to Timothy. He had helped him grow spiritually, taught him about the ministry. Like he loved this guy. He loved this guy. His heart ached for him when he hurt and when he had difficulties in his church, and rejoiced with him when he was like seeing successes. Like he loved Timothy. And he says this over him. Ready for these three words? They're big, so remember them, right? They're important. Grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what he's speaking over Timothy that he loves so much. Grace is this gift that we don't deserve, any of us, that Timothy didn't deserve. For Jesus to love him, for Jesus to step out of heaven and do that and be the gift that he doesn't deserve, salvation. And then mercy, all of us deserve punishment and penalty for our sin, and yet mercy held back that punishment, gave us forgiveness instead through Christ. Timothy didn't deserve mercy. And peace, going from being the enemy of God, like literally before you're saved by Jesus and you've given him your heart, you're God's enemy. You're on the other side of the battlefield, standing looking at the Almighty King of all creation coming at you. Like, that's where you stand. That's a really bad place to be. And yet, with Jesus, you get peace. You're no longer the enemy of God. You're at peace with him. Those are three really big things that matter. It wasn't like sports cars, money, houses. Like, it wasn't like all these financial blessings over Timothy. He wanted grace, mercy, and peace were the things he's praying for Timothy's life. Does that matter to you? I think a lot of people would rather have the sports car and the house and the private jet. And then you're like, no, I'm actually praying grace, mercy, and peace. And you're like, what are you praying that for me for? Give me the Ferrari. These are big things. But your heart can't be grateful until they matter to you, until it matters that you're going to spend eternity with Christ. That you no longer have to go to hell forever. That you get to be with your Creator. Those are big things. And when you realize how important they are, then you can start to be grateful that you're having that prayed over you. And you start to pray it over others. Do you pray for other people? I want to challenge you to pray those three things over others. Because what that means is that they're meeting Jesus. They're finding grace and mercy and peace. They're being saved. Their sins are being forgiven. Will you pray that for the people in your family? Will you pray that for your friends? People on your sports teams and schools, your teachers? Man, it's pretty clear the second you walk into a classroom, you kind of know where a teacher stands with faith. Right? A lot of times it's pretty clear if they're like a Christian or they're totally anti-Christian. Like, do you pray for your teacher? These things over them. Ask God to do a work in their heart and show them grace, mercy, and peace. And now he says it, right? This is the part. This is the title of the thing. I thank God, Paul says. This is so big. Paul's not saying, oh, look what I did. I did such a great job, you know, helping you grow and teaching you how to be a good pastor and teaching you about faith and modeling this for you. He goes, I thank God. It's God who did this in you. It's God who did this in me. Like, all of us should sit around and just look at God's face and say, we're not worthy. And yet you still did it. I'll tell you what, the heart of a pastor, I know this personally, it beats fast when people take steps closer to Jesus. When I see you guys step out in your faith, my heart beats fast. Nothing makes me happier than to watch you be like, man, this is scary, but I'm going to do it because God's with me. Or come up with a question and just look on your face that I know you're like, man, I'm falling more in love with Jesus. It's undeniable. Or come up and be like, man, I'm so pumped about this passage I just read in the Bible and I have questions and I want to talk to you about it. Man, my heart starts to beat. That's what Paul's feeling, man. That I can hear it in his voice, even though I can't hear his voice. It's one of those. Because I know what he's saying when he's like, I thank God. Because that's how I feel for you. I'm sure that's how your life group leaders and your Sunday school teachers feel for you. Some of your parents who are believers and just want you to follow Christ, they feel that. They know that. I thank God for every step you take as you get closer to Jesus. Because that's really what it's all about. Another 60, 70, 80 years, what else are you going to have? None of this is going to be left. It's going to be you face to face with Jesus. And what will you say? Did you spend time growing with him and getting to know him? Did you ever receive him as your Savior? Those will be the important questions. for that, Paul says, man, I thank God because he did this, to see these seeds planted in your heart, you know? And I want to challenge you guys. Thank God for these awesome conversations that you guys have been having because you're putting those shirts on, right? Because God and the Holy Spirit have been opening doors for you to talk to people, and it's awesome. It's awesome to see. So thank him for it and say, Lord, thank you for just showing up in their life, in their heart. Share those stories tonight. When you guys go to youth, your life group, share that with your life groups. Tell them about what happened. Tell them about what God's doing. Celebrate it. Don't steal that glory. Just be like, God, like, you have to hear what God did. He's so good, and let others celebrate that with you. And use it as a time just to worship him by saying what he did. That's what this is about. And that's what Paul's doing. He's thanking God so we can hear the power of God and what it's done. Then he says this next. He says, whom I serve as did my ancestors. So Paul's like, this God is who I serve. He's not just anybody. I serve him with my life. He means everything to me. I serve him. My ancestors did too. You know, like this is all of my life right here wrapped up in this. And he says, and with a clear conscience, I can tell you, I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. It wasn't like that exaggeration you tell people, like, praying for you, brother, you know, and you're not, and you don't. Like, you're just kind of saying it so they feel better. It's almost this pleasantry. I hope you don't do that, but I know it happens, right? He's not doing that. He's like, with a clear conscience, I can tell you, I literally do this. I am praying for you all the time, and I thank God for you in my prayers all the time because it's that big of a deal. It's what it's all about, right? To be able to see the work of God show up, these miracles in front of you. Maybe not physical miracles, but people's hearts are coming from death to life. That's a miracle. To see someone's life change and turn back to Jesus, that's awesome. Celebrate it. Thank the Lord for it. Share it with other people. Let God get the glory for it. Then he says, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. It's cool that even through the hard times, right? God, Paul has these like memories of difficult days that Timothy walked through and the conversations that they had about this problem and this challenge. And it's like, even with tears. And he's like, listen, I know it's been a journey, but it fills my heart with joy to see how God has brought you through this awesome journey. To be able to see that, you have to be on a journey with someone. You got to be there for the journey. Are you on a journey with people? Do you have a life group leader who's constantly bugging you and nagging you and texting you and inviting you to do things and show up at a Bible study and trying to encourage you, and you're just like such a turd and you're like, nah, I don't need none of that, you know? They're doing it because they love you. They're doing it because of this. They want you on the journey with them. They want you to walk closer to Jesus. They want to help you do that. They want to walk you through that. They want to be a part of it so they can say like Paul, man, it fills my heart with joy to see even in the hard times and then the good times to watch how much God has grown you. That is the joy of someone in your life who loves you. And I want to encourage you this. Don't be that guy who just takes it all in, or girl who just takes it all in. Be that person too. Watch how people in your life group leaders, Sunday school teachers, youth pastors are around you doing that and go, I want to do that for someone else. Maybe you high schoolers will start looking to our middle schoolers and be like, hey, I can pick a middle schooler that I think I kind of get along with and talk to them and help them walk and grow in Jesus and encourage them. Maybe it's somebody at school. Do you have somebody like that? Are you engaging in someone's life to where you can literally say like, hey, I could say like Paul, like, I love watching you grow. I've been a part of the journey and I can't wait to keep seeing what God is doing in you. Be involved in your life groups. They're so important. This whole next month of July, Justin mentioned, we're focusing on life groups. We want you guys to dig into these relationships. Get to know each other, love each other, walk through this together. Take advantage of these adults in your groups who are there to share with you and talk in the Bible with you and pray for you. Dig in. Be a part of the journey with us, just like Paul's saying here. And then as he closes, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Like, he knew this wasn't this fake thing Timothy was doing because he was on the journey, right? He saw this sincere faith in him, a faith, he says, that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. That's awesome, okay? Listen, His grandmother was one of the keys to him accepting Jesus as his Savior. That is awesome. A lot of times we think like, oh man, I was at this youth thing and I did this thing and this dude was all tatted up and really cool, came down, talked to me about Jesus, or this kid in my class. Like, you don't think like, hey, my grandmother was the one that led me to Christ. Like, that's probably not your first thought. And hopefully you come from a family like that. That'd be awesome. Timothy did. And I think it's amazing because here at Firehouse, I'm pumped that we have such a multi-generational, that means lots of different generations and ages serving here. It's not a bunch of like high schoolers and then like college kids that are just running around. And then like, that's all we have is one little group. Like, we have all ages serving in this place, loving you guys. My own parents, they're in their 70s or upstairs, right? That's awesome. That's what the body of Christ looks like. I want you guys to, I don't want us to be a youth group that's all about like this new like culture that just worships like youth. Like, the younger you are, the more we worship you. Like, that's retarded. It's sorry for saying that word. I shouldn't say that word. That's just dumb. You know why? Because we take all these people that God has poured his spirit and his maturity and his wisdom in, and we just devalue them. We're like, you don't have anything to share with us. And God's like, they're a gift to you. Timothy knew that firsthand. I love that. I think it's beautiful. Don't ever limit who God wants you to interact with. I remember sitting with a person who I was in Guatemala and I was visiting an elderly home. And I was sitting with some people and there was a blind guy there and he couldn't read his own Bible. He loved to hear the Bible. So he's like, will you read the Bible to me in Spanish so I can hear it because I can't read it. So I sat there and started reading through the Gospels. And man, all of a sudden there were like 15 or 20 other senior adults that came and just gathered around because we're reading the Bible. And they're like, what is this gringo doing over here? Like, this is funny. Listen to his accent. And they're sitting around me. At the end of that time, just from reading the Bible and doing nothing else, there was an elderly man right there who had never accepted Christ. He's like, how do I do that? I got to sit there with this guy who was in his, he had to be like 85, and lead him to Jesus. I was only like 17 years old. Some of you guys are 17. And you're thinking, how's God going to use me in the life of a senior adult? Like, they're so much older than me and more mature than me and all this. Don't ever limit who God is going to use you to affect. Timothy saw that firsthand. Engage with the generations, y'all. Put your life in God's hands. Then he says this. He says, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. There is no doubt that Timothy had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul got to stand at the end of this thing and just be like, I love to be able to say, it fills me with joy to say, man, God is at work in you. God is doing awesome stuff in you. How's your relationship with Jesus tonight? How are you doing? If you were to be honest, are you walking with Christ? Are you opening up the word and hearing him talk to you? Are you praying and spending time with him? Are you following him when he's calling you out of sins in your life, or are you holding on, not wanting to let go of that sin? Or are you saying, God, free me. Let this life be about you. How is your relationship with Jesus tonight? If it's good, here's what I want you to do. Thank him. Thank him. And maybe find someone who's been like instrumental in your life to help you grow in Jesus and thank them tonight too. Call them up, text them, find them, be like, I'm just so grateful that you poured into me, that you loved me, that you talked to me about Jesus. I just want to tell you that. And tonight, if you're not there, that's okay. Here's what you do. Maybe tonight you take a step and say, Lord, tonight I want you to have my heart. I want that to be me. I know you have to do it. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to pull you back onto the path and you can take another step closer to Jesus. Will you guys close your eyes and bow your heads with me tonight? I know that there's some of you in the room that you're in one of those two boats, and I want to give you the opportunity tonight to respond to that, to ask for prayer. I would love to pray for you. And so let me just ask you this. If you are that person tonight who says, I've never met Jesus, I don't know him, I don't know that grace, mercy, and peace you're talking about, forgiveness of God for my sin, like I don't know what that is, but I want God to forgive me. I want to be right with him. I want to know that. If that's you tonight, if you guys could pull the lights up just a little bit so I can see. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up in the air and say, Rob, pray for me. Like, I want to know who Christ is and I want forgiveness. Just pray for me tonight. Oh, that's awesome. I see your hand back there. Anybody else? I need Jesus and I don't know him. I don't know that I've been forgiven, but tonight I want to know that. Rob, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up in the air and say, that's me. Now, the other boat of you, if maybe you're here and you're like, you asked me how my relationship is with him. I am caught up in some stuff right now. I need to be freed from some things in my life, and I need some prayer. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up in a moment of honesty and just say, pray for me? Like, I'm fighting with some stuff in my life, and I want God to take it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see all those hands. I feel it. Anybody else, you be honest, you join these people raising their hands, say, that's me. Pray for me. Include me in this prayer tonight. Would you bow your heads and just pray with me? Let's ask God to do this, because only he can. Father, we need you to do the work. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for knocking on these hearts that raise their hands tonight. We know you're the one who called them to do that, to take that step of faith. My heart's beating fast right now. I'm pumped to see people take steps closer to you. God, will you honor that? Holy Spirit, will you do that for them? They want to step out of sin. They want to shake off these things that they're struggling with and say, God, I want my life to be about you. Will you help them? Take the shame away, take the guilt away, Father, and fill them with a hope that says, Jesus, you're going to do this in me. Father, help them to go to life groups and find people that will walk with them through that. Pray with them, encourage them to step out of those places of sin in their life. And Lord, for those couple that raise their hands for salvation, Lord, I pray that tonight, before they leave this place, they would stop and talk to me. They talk to their life group leader and say, that's me, like I raised my hand tonight. Can you tell me how to find forgiveness? Can you tell me how to be saved tonight? God, we love you. Will you hear us as we finish out this night with worship and tell you how great you are? Hear our hearts sing to you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.